This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Fishing this morning down at the Honolulu Yacht Club, where the show is going to be broadcast live today with Carol Cox.
Good morning, Francis. Thank you. The Hawaii Yacht Club here, downtown, beautiful Waikiki. Got a little itchy throat here, but we're going to make it through. And what a lovely day. You should be here. The sun's come out, poked its face out there, and we got some dry weather, no wind, no rain, just a slight breeze. So I got some guests here, Al Bento of Bento Custom Lures and Mitch Mitchell of Mitch's Sushi Restaurant. And they are, Mitch's Sushi Restaurant is a major sponsor in the Mitch's Sushi Shootout tournament, fishing tournament. This is the fourth annual fishing tournament. And yesterday they've been catching some very good looking mahi-mahi ono, 40.5 pounds of each ono, and 275 pound marlin. And things are looking really good. And what was that kaku What was the rating of Kaku?
49.5.
49.5 Kaku or Barracuda. But anyway, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you to Al for joining, and thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
So tell us about the Mitch's Shootout Tournament, Al, if you would, and how long it's been, what's going on with it.
Well, this is our fourth year in holding a tournament here at Hawaii Yacht Club. And it was put together by Craig Mitchell, who decided that he wanted to put on a no-holds-barred tournament, good for the fishermen that we have in Hawaii, no matter what kind of waters we had. And if you remember the first year, we had lightning, thunder, storm, rain, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we still managed to bring out a 1,007-pound marlin. So it's been going on for the past 4 years, and everybody seems to like it, so we continue it.
Mm-hmm. So this year we had 51 boats and 2 pulled out, huh?
It's the first time that we've sold out on the tournament as far as boats are concerned. We take 50, and a couple have dropped out, but we still have 50 boats in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there right now. Yesterday was pretty breezy and rainy, and everybody was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the global warming came in, but they sure froze their butts off yesterday. But today seems like a beautiful day, and I think there's going to be a lot of action today.
Well, I noticed a number of mahi came in yesterday. One boat of 12, and a lot of small shibi or ahi, and what we had a 36-pound ahi. But over the past years, we didn't have that on the first day. We had bad weather and wind and rain, and yet the fish were biting.
Well, this is the first part of the month that actually has produced. The last 4 weeks has not produced fish around the island.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few caught on the windward side and Haleiwa side, but this side has been kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they're coming back.
I see. So, what we have here, sitting here looking at the Alawai right now, we noticed yesterday the water coming down brown and dirty, and so we've had some big downpours. But what happened was yesterday, apparently, somebody found a rope or a piece of net floating. And so what happens when you find a net out there? What's the benefit of that?
Well, usually the net holds crustaceans, crabs, and little fish around it, and creates a food chain. And so the smaller fish come and eat part of the little crabs and crustaceans, mm-hmm. and bigger fish come and eat the fish that's feeding off of the net.
Mm-hmm.
So normally there's a lot of mai-mai and ono around a net that's been floating a long time. If it's a fresh net, you won't get too many. But if it's a net that's been floating for years, you'll always find fish around.
Mm-hmm. A net or other debris, trees,
logs. Mm-hmm. You know, I found a tree one time that was 18 feet around at the trunk, straight up and down. They call that a deadhead.
Mm-hmm.
And caught a lot of fish off there.
Mm-hmm. So they, last night I noticed Booley, the RC for Powers, had on, the fish taco, his special.
Mm-hmm.
And some fish that was fresh fish that was caught.
All of the team members, when they came in to weigh their fish, donated one or two fish to
mm-hmm.
the tournament, and I had the laborious job of cutting them all. I was cutting fish until 9 o'clock last night,
yeah.
And we're going to have another good fish fry tonight, along with a lot of other good food
mm-hmm.
at our banquet tonight. But our fishermen here always donate to us and give us enough fish for the party, and it turns out pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. And so Mitch is going to have, and we'll talk to him in a bit, that he brings fresh sushi and sashimi. And
well, if you ever want a good Japanese sushi meal, you go down to Mitch's Sushi. I mean, they have two of the finest chefs here in the state. I
mm-hmm.
mean, they're from Japan, and they put on a heck of a good spread, all authentic and all fresh, good fish.
It's the talk of the town, and Honolulu's quite kept secret, a little secret, but when you talk to someone that has been there,
You have to get your reservations in because they're busy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have so many seats, and they do a damn good job.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to put Mitch on here for a minute and get some word from him. And also, another sponsor here is Corona Beer, right? And Paradise Beverages. And also, another major sponsor was TT&D, that's Tropical Trim and Design, Mr. Joe Daniels. That's out of Hollywood. So if you and actually, we won last year's tournament. So the entry fee for this tournament was $500. And in order to, if you're wanting to join in or participate in next year's tournament, you would have to contact the Honolulu Yacht Club here, the Hawaii Yacht Club, and you can get some information there. And let's see here, I'll get you the number for the yacht club and get information. And 944-9666, extension 10 or 11. So if you're interested in any of these tournaments, and we're going to be talking about a number of tournaments, one's coming up in April, and we'll be talking about. But, Mitch, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for those kind words.
Yeah, well, you know, in today's business, we know that most of your fish coming in some of the stores, if you want carbon monoxide and whatever, you folks sell some fresh fish.
Right.
And good quality. And where are you located?
We're actually located out near the airport in Over Here Street. 524 is the street number. 524 Over Here Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's just off Nimitz, close to the Alamo Car Rental and J&M Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the airport side of that short little road.
So O'Hill Street, again, the address is
524 O'Hill Street, O-H-O-H-I-A.
Okay. And what would be the phone number if they were wanting to make reservations, or how does they make reservations?
Yes, certainly, 8377774. I'll say it again, 8377774.
Mm-hmm. And you notice that Mitch has a southern accent. That's from South Africa, right?
Right, yeah. That's the original home, but Hawaii is now my home. I'm a U.S. citizen and very proud to do so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I see we got a call here. Let's listen in for a minute. The fisherman recording, and the way the way this tournament works is that we have a base here at the yacht club, and each fish that is caught has to be called in.
That's correct.
To the base to let them know that they've caught and give them approximate weight and type, right?
And once they hook up, they normally report in that they are hooked up as well, because apparently one of the rules, if they hook up just before the closing time,
right,
if they report in, they able to fight the fish for as long as till they land it and then come in. But if they don't report it, when they hook up, they're going to lose out.
If they don't report the fish and they boat it, it does not register. It cannot be used for the competition.
Correct.
And what's the purpose of that? Is that just to prevent abuse? What is it?
Well, you know, it's just to keep control of the fishing as such. You don't have fellas going loading other fish on boats from somewhere else.
Right.
So it's just a means of control, and obviously we've got to get the boats back at the end of the day to find out who the winner is.
Right.
And you know, you want to stop the idea of people waiting till the last minute and not reporting the hookups.
Right, and so time management. But over the years, there's been certain elements involved in these tournaments where the friend would catch a 500-pound fish the day before and meet him out at sea and pass off the fish and bring that fish in, representing him that they caught it during the tournament. So that's one of the reasons, then.
Of course, and, you know, there's a considerable amount of effort put in by the club, and it's a fairly large amount of money that out there to be won, so we just try to eliminate
the witchcraft. And that's understood, because you want integrity in the effort. You don't want something that's shown illegal and unethical. And backing up to your restaurant,
right?
What do you serve us? Some of the dishes.
Well, we have you know, a large selection on the menu, and in addition to that. We have a lot of fish we bring in from Japan, which is not always regular. You can't put it on the actual menu as such, because it's not a regular supply of it. It's a very seasonal type of catches that they get over there. And other than things just like hamachi and so on, which is pretty freely available, but some of the real exquisite little fish that we get in, we just don't get it every week.
Now, you sell directly to the public at all, or how does that work?
You know, we don't really. There are a few items that Craig will allow people, like the oysters, if you order ahead of time in the 4 dozen packs.
Okay.
And you can also, provided you order a week ahead, get the what we call the big lobsters. I think the biggest one we've had is up to about 16 pound in weight. And those you can order ahead of time, and it's a seasonal thing, and it's got to be done through Craig's office, not through the sushi bar.
And what is that number? Do you have a number for them? Well, they could call Mr. Sushi Bar.
You can get to the Bonal line. We just transfer the call. There's a little bit of stuff, but we don't normally supply fish to.
And again, what time are you open?
We open, the sushi bar opens at 11:30 in the morning, and we go right through and have our last sitting at 8:30 in the evening. So if you're seated by 8:30, when you've finished eating, we'll pick up and clean up. But we don't allow anyone in after 8:30.
After 8:30, that's it.
In the evening, yeah, correct.
And I notice you have two chefs.
Yes, we have two.
And they seem to know what they're doing. What?
Oh, yeah. They were both trained in Japan, and the sort of apprenticeship that they have to go through over there is, I think, a period of about 5 years of learning. I think the first year, they're allowed to do is make rice, and that's what they told me. And in the second year, they learned to sharpen their knives, and they are sharp, I promise you. And then after that, they're allowed to cut the fish up.
I see you serve the barbecue here.
That we get in from Japan as well. And we bring in a lot of fish from New Zealand, Australia, Tasmania, the abalone, live abalone we have in the tanks. They come from Tasmania, and the lobster, of course, from New Zealand. And then there's also fish. We bring tuna in from Marshall Isles, but we don't really cut our own tuna. We only need the special cuts Mm-hmm. And the tora that we get is imported from Spain. We don't import it, but we get it. I know it comes from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's delicious.
Yeah. Well, you're not open on Sundays, but the rest of the days you are.
Yeah. 6 days a week.
And your tournament, you're going to be here next year sponsoring?
I hope so. depending on the economics.
Your fourth one now, and they seem to have been quite successful.
It's been quite good fun, and I hope that, you know, the catch yesterday was, I expected far less than the boats brought in, but it was good to see that they were getting stuff out there in that bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hopeful today that we get another grander in.
Yeah, a number of the fishermen expressed a bit of discouragement at first. The rain, the wind yesterday.
Yeah.
It had some heavy winds. And
must have
whales,
been
huh?
Pretty miserable out there.
Man, I mean, just departing from the harbor here, they were seemed to have been not a challenge, but they wouldn't go out if it wasn't safe. The sponsor of the yacht club and others would not be party to anything that suggests the folks to danger or anything. But anyway, thank you for joining us. And,
thank you for inviting us.
And I got Al and some others. And so today you're going to have the banquet.
There we go. Tonight, the party.
So what do you bring for the banquet tonight?
Oh, well, we have our sushi chefs on the bar.
So, and let the people know what you're
saying. They're going to bring steak and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you're going to grill chicken, but this is one of the few, I guess, one of the only tournaments where fishermen can participate and at the end of the tournament have professional sushi chefs.
Prepare
sushi. Does that occur anywhere else in the state? Probably nowhere, huh?
Yeah, we'll have the whole staff here tonight.
So you'll have your restaurant staff here serving sushi and cutting hamachi. And
cooking the meat and grilling.
Wow.
It'll be fun. The last three have been excellent, and we hope this turns out to be the same, and I'm sure it will.
What kind of sushi you want to make? Your guys will be making tonight.
They won't have any of the tora here, but probably have chutora and the tuna and hamachi. Shrimp.
Wow. That's...
I don't think we'll be bringing lobster.
That is. Carol, there's a caller waiting for you.
Okay.
His name is Greg.
Alrighty. Hey, good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Carol. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. What are you up to today?
Oh, not too much. Just sitting here on my lanai looking at the beautiful skies and can't wait to get down there and weigh some fish.
Well, I've been hearing a few reports, Mahi-Mahi and what else? I don't know, maybe a... That's basically it today, so you might have at the pace we're going, a light weight schedule. But, you know, I invited you to yesterday talk something I was interested in. Greg is involved in a diesel in a boat thing. Greg, can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. What we're doing here is we're launching a new class to teach boaters about the powertrains in their boats. I found through my years of working on these marine diesels that most boaters don't have a clue what's going on inside their engine compartment.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do open their engine compartment, they look at it and they're just kind of lost.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is we put together a program. We've imitated a program that's very popular on the mainland so that we can break down the different systems, the major components of your drivetrain system, so that you can recognize and know what they are and be able to, and we'll also teach you how to do the maintenance on it, you know, all the little simple things, so that you can avoid a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to demystify it so that you're not afraid of it because you don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I found that most of the, a lot of boats that I go and work on, I spend more time educating the boater about his systems than I do working on the boat. They have so many questions.
Right, and you do a lot of repairing.
Yes, sir. I do a lot of repairing on marine diesel. That's my specialty.
And is that this program that you've come up with is through Spectrum Engineering Hawaii?
Yes, certainly is.
And you guys also do boat trailers and whatever?
Do boat trailers, just about any kind of metal fabrication. We also do generators.
Mm-hmm. So this class, what you're saying is it will educate the boaters and also boat owners and also possibly save them money by being able to do build their own or repair their own and provide.
Oh, right? Absolutely. One of the two main points that we're trying to get across here is that, number one, you can take care of your own boat if you know what you're doing, and most of it is very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it can avoid some high costs. I mean, we all know how expensive it is to have a guy actually come out and work on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the second main point that we're getting to is if you do have a breakdown, and you're out in the middle of the ocean, you will know where to go to look for the problem.
Right. So safety factor there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Save your butt while you're at it, maybe.
Right, right. And when is this class going to start, and how do people get in touch with you to participate?
Well, our first class is scheduled for next Saturday on the 21st. It is almost full. The classes are going to stay very small, so that everybody will get the personalized attention that they need. I don't want anybody walking out of the class with more questions than they had before they came in.
Uh-huh.
We have a second class scheduled for the 28th. It's already starting to fill up. But for information, they can call me at 341-2289, and I'll give them all the information they can need.
Okay, and that's Greg Pack.
Greg Pack, yes, sir.
And you're with Spectrum Engineering, and the project that you have going on is Diesel in a Day.
It's called Diesel in a Day. We've compacted all the classes that you would normally take into one day, and it's going to be a lot of information. And I'll also provide the books, so you can take those with you for reference. You know, because nobody ever remembers everything, right?
Mm-hmm. And so if people out there, if you're interested, do give Greg a call. And Greg, give that number again.
It's 341-2289. That's a local number. And Carol, if anybody calls me and signs up for this class and mentions your radio show, I'll give them a special price.
Okay. Well, you've heard it there. So, folks, if you're in, and especially you boaters, and also a diesel engine, it might be a way of learning a little means of working on just diesel engines, right?
Absolutely. The basic function of an engine is all the same, whether it's gas, diesel, propane, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But each one has their own little idiosyncrasies, of course, and we're focusing on the diesels, because that's what most folks have,
right.
And that's the one that has the most mystery around it.
So it's possible there's potential for a young man out there, someone that's doing hard times or the economic times, difficulties, could start a small training and learn a new business.
You're absolutely right, Carol. I have one student signed up, and that is his objective. Is he wants to learn the basics about a diesel engine and take it from there.
Okay, well, I'll wait to see you down here at the Yacht Club and weigh in, and hopefully by then they've caught more fish, because I'd hate to see you spending your entire day just drinking beer.
Well, I tell you, hanging them fishes is an awful lot of fun, but hanging around the Yacht Club with you and all the other folks, that's just as much fun, too.
Yeah, it's always fun. And I really appreciate you calling in. And
thank you, Carol.
And sharing this. And we'll keep the public posted, because I think there'll be some young man out there, young lady, that might find this beneficial. and start would be the start into a whole new job or a type
yes,
of
sir.
Line of work.
Certainly possible.
Okay, well, thank you, Greg, and we're going to take a break here. I'm going to rest this crazy voice of mine for a minute, and Francis, give us a little break there, a little music, if you would, please.
Aloha, Carol.
Aloha.
Up in the morning, out on the job, I work like the devil for my pay. I know that a lucky old son has nothing to do with my woman, and I toil with my kids. I sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. I know that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Dear Lord above, don't you see I'm pining? I got tears all in my eyes. Why don't you send down that cloud with the silver lining? Lift me up to paradise. Show me that river. Why don't you take me across and wash all my troubles away? I know that lucky old son, he's got nothing to do but just roll around heaven all day.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. If you want to pick up this broadcast on the internet, you can go to carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And we're going to actually post some of the pictures of the tournament and just a little fun time here. Once in a while, take a break from the trying to expose people for doing things and bad things and what have you. So we have the fun side of life, too, the sunny side of life. Right, Al?
That's it.
Yeah. So, Al, we got Mitch still here with us, and you've been there in Eden, and you make a pretty mean ceviche. I was going to ask you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe there are some listeners out there that would enjoy, appreciate your recipe.
Well, normally I'd have to kill you once you heard it.
But
it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah, but it's really good. But
yeah, it's basically white meat fish.
White meat fish.
You know, Portuguese are famous for their brigadeiros, which we're going to have tonight. I made a big batch of pickled pork.
Mm-hmm.
And but the ceviche is just oils and vinegar.
Well, let's just give a fish. That's
pork. Yeah, well, you know, we have to satisfy everybody. You know?
Yeah.
But the fish is you basically make it to taste, but there's limes and vinegar and oils.
Lime, vinegar, oils, and onions.
Onions, and you can probably put about any vegetable in there, and it'll marinate it.
You put any dill in it?
Just a little bit.
I'm trying to dill still good.
Enough salt and black pepper.
But it's really good.
Spice it up with cayenne pepper or regular chili pepper if you want.
But the lime pretty much is doing the cooking.
The lime and the vinegar.
It's lime and the vinegar.
Does the cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's an original dish from...
I started it, basically I went to a party 100 years ago, I think it was. I feel that old right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a dish from Tahiti called Corvan Cru. But it's made with tomatoes and fish and coconut milk. And I said, well, I'm going to try and make a different version of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, about, I guess, 25 years ago, I created this little recipe. And I'm sure it's not an original. I'm sure that in each country, Portugal, Peru, I mean, all of your Spanish states and Mexican states have probably something, a version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took off and got pretty popular.
So you're using mostly the white meat fish, which are?
Right. Well, yeah, Ono and your marlin.
Ono and marlin. Marlin.
Yeah.
And you don't do it with the tuna, so the jack.
No, I don't do it with the red meat tuna, although the Poisson Cru mm-hmm. from Tahiti, they use a lot of tuna
mm-hmm.
in there with the coconut milk.
I see. Well, and then you just get it up and let it sit? Or do you have to let that sit for a
while?
Well,
you can actually eat it. It'll be probably half raw in about 2 hours, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But the second day and the third day and the fourth day is usually the best.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of marinates itself, and mm-hmm. it'll keep a long time in the fridge. So.
Because of the lime and the vinegar.
Right, because of the pickling. Yeah.
Pickling, okay. But on another subject, you were on the show about 4 months ago, 5 months ago or so, and you were making lures, for fishing lures. What? How's that going? And
it's going okay. I have them at Five Ocean Seven Seas,
mm-hmm.
and they're all handmade. They're not produced by lathe or anything. It's all done by hand.
Five Ocean Seven Seas at Sand Island. That's the store there.
Joe Kimura.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good lure fisherman. Runs the lure tournaments. He's fishing in our tournament here, and they sponsor a tournament also.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I just do it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only making the lures that catch fish. And so far this tournament, I think there's about 8 or 10 people that have hooked up with
Old Blue and Silver Fox.
Silver Fox got me a 1207 in 1994.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty popular out there.
So if they wanted, people out there wanted to buy in bulk or wanted to buy news, they could contact you where?
Well, they just give me a call at 223-8210, and I'll show them the way.
223-8210.
I've had that number for 25 years.
I thought you were going to say you had that number since you were a little boy. And I was thinking, did we have phone numbers?
Boy, when was that?
Just kidding, folks, no. But, yeah, this, you know, down at the harbor here, the Yacht Club, and we're, there's some changes occurring here in this area. Parking issues, they're talking about commercializing the harbor and bringing bigger boats in, 65-footers and all. How is it going to impact? Do you think there will be any impact on, for example, the junior sailing program here?
Well, the only thing I can see happening is we have a tremendous junior sailing program here, which goes all into the schools. And schools bring their kids down here every so many days and go out on our little boats. Waikiki Yacht Club has the same thing. And sometimes this harbor is filled with little boats and kids learning how to sail and into boating and learning how to tie knots and everything. And then actually getting into the boats and doing a lot of sailing out here. Our junior instructors are just the best in the world, no doubt about it. And then also we have the canoe paddlers from all the schools. It's now a state school program.
State
sanction program. And you'll have 20-30 canoes out here paddling. I just don't know how that's going to affect the commercialization of this harbor.
Well, it appears that the introducing big ships or big boats will pose a threat. And this junior sailing program here at the Yacht Club is available to the public. You can actually come in at rare occasions. A lot of people can't afford. They don't have boats and all. But through this program, I have recommended children here that are not members, and they commonly learn to sail, which they would not have had that opportunity because their families don't have boats.
Right. It's open to the general public, but we also have a adult sailing class that people can get into if they want to learn how to sail.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of 20 Cal 20s,
mm-hmm.
and our instructors will take them and teach them.
Yeah, and it's reasonable because you don't necessarily have to go out and invest in a boat and find out that you don't like sailing or whatever. You can actually do that. But this opportunity that's afforded to just any children is unbelievable. So with this new proposal or the consideration of bringing bigger boats in, kind of presents a problem, both safety-wise and then also taking something that the public has access to. So many things are being privatized and what have you. And in this instance, if you want to come down here with your sailboat, you could do it if you had a small sailboat.
Well, I think the boating community just has to work together with the private sector and the commercial boats and work on a solution. I don't know if there can be a solution made, but they're going to have to work together as a team rather than two independent things trying to buck heads.
Right. Well, I just can't imagine some of the bureaucrats sitting around thinking that we could have children learning to sail and we put 65-foot boats in the months and have them to navigate. We see it through all the basins, occasionally injury or death there at the surface, drifting out in the channel or the boats coming in. So it presents a problem.
But it does, yeah. There's no easy solution either.
Well, when it comes to safety, though, I think it's a very easy one. Don't put big boats with little people. You know. But anyway, that's the situation here. I'm looking out now. It's amazing the traffic's going to float down. A lot of this is just natural anyway because trees fall in the streams and sometimes people are throwing their cuttings and tree cuttings and trimmings and dead animals in the stream upstream which should not be without plastics and lawn chairs and what have you. So if people out there, they really should stop dumping it in the stream and take it to the proper place.
Well, there's a catchment over here at the McCully Bridge, supposedly, and that should stop most of the debris. But you know, when a big rain comes like we just had, we have some big logs and big. We've seen mattresses, and we've seen dead animals, and we've seen you name it coming down and filtering out into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There just has to be a better means of catchment, maybe.
Yeah, you look around you, and did you expect to anticipate a day like today?
After yesterday, some of the boys out there came in frozen, and a lot of rain up yesterday. But today is one of your typical, beautiful Hawaiians.
It's sort of like you're in a pitch or something. You live here. I mean, it is sunny, about as pristine and as beautiful as you could get.
What our tourists love. This is it. This is Hawaii.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing. So, with that heavy rain, last night you had heavy rain, but what will that do to the fish? When you have a heavy rain like this outside, would do the fish bite more or they bite less?
Well, basically, the reason why you hear the boats not catching too much fish early on in the morning is because the boats are going out to the areas where the fish are. Fish are far away from here. They're 20 miles, the banks are 20 miles away from here, and then outside of Waianae and stuff. So around locally, up to about maybe 2 or 3 miles, there's usually not too much action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is, but most of the time there's not. You have to reach out a little bit. We have HH buoy, which is 18 miles out of here, and BO buoy, which is 18 miles out of here, and P buoy on the tip of the bank, that's 31 miles from here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where basically the boats generate, all the way down the Waianae coast. 500 fathom, 1,000 fathom, 1,500 fathom mm-hmm. ledges that they run. These are all concertly outside of the main inner island, inner waterways.
Now, thinking back in the past, just out of curiosity, did people have to go, fishermen have to go as far, or it has always been that?
Yeah, it's been that way. The banks has always been a hot spot for fishermen. If you can get to the backside of Molokai, that's an excellent area to Kalapapa side, and that's where I got my big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And off the Waianae coast, Haleiwa. Haleiwa is good fishing, but the water is usually a little rougher down there. but it's good fishing all the way around the island.
Yes.
In the old days, sure, you know, half a day you go out and you come in with a boatload of fish. Today, you have to travel more, and if you come in with 3 or 4 fish, you might be lucky.
Right.
And they're moved out a little bit.
They're moved out, do you think? A while back you had mentioned something about you had a theory of the decline of the fish not being congregating around here.
Well, Oahu is been the base for our military for quite a while, naval vessels and stuff. And with all the travel of we're one of the major submarine repair bases here.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the traveling of these ships, they all have a good amount of sonar.
Acoustics.
And I don't think that the sonar actually kills the fish. But what it does, I think it pushes the bait out further.
Mm-hmm.
That we can go 20 miles, 30 miles, 40 miles out at sea. And that's where the fish basically are. And right around Pearl Harbor and this area here, I would imagine there's a lot of sonar going on. And who knows?
A lot of underwater chatter.
A lot of underwater chatter.
Yeah, well, anyway, Mitch, jumping back and forth, but Al, you seem to be... Well, not seem to be. You've been here. You have a great wealth of knowledge, and it's just always good to talk with you.
All right. The last thing is, I'd like to say something about our Senoritas fishing tournament coming up. Back in 1980, I was a rear commander for power here at Hawaii Yacht Club, and we started the tournament. There were 6 of us that started the tournament called the Senoritas fishing tournament, and that was in 1980. This year, April 25th is going to be our 30th year in the tournament. And so if anybody's interested, just call Hawaii Yacht Club and we'll get some flyers out to you on some entry things. And 944-9666, extension 11 and 10. All right. This is primarily like tournament set up for women, and any boat can enter. And basically, we wanted to. There were a lot of tournaments in Hawaii back then where it was strictly like a man's tournament. Well, we wanted to get the women involved in fishing, and we did, and we still do. And you'd be surprised how many big fish come in with these women anglers. They're excellent anglers nowadays, and they they're the admirals. They're not the captains. They're the admirals. They run the ship.
The women, the senoritas, is an all women's tournament.
Right.
And I may have not heard, but how they create a team, form a team, and they get a boat to sponsor them, or what? How does it work?
Well, they have to work out their own arrangements with the boat. We supply the tournament itself, the running of the tournament, and the weigh-ins, and the food and everything, the parties and stuff like that. And they have to get their own boat, and usually there's, 4 to 6 girls on a team, and just go out and have fun.
And it's still open for submissions.
It's still open. It's April 25th is the date, and it's still open, and you can call the Hawaii Yacht Club. We have flyers at all of the fishing supply stores, and so they can get a hold of us.
And some of the companies out there, the ladies at certain companies might wish to come out and join in or get a boat. To call the yacht club, it's 949-4622, generally a number, and they should just call them and inquire if they want to for any of the activities here. Junior sailing, adult sailing, what have you. Well, thank you, and I'm going to chat with Mitch for a real quick second here, and we'll end up closing out.
Carol, 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. And Mitch, what do you do with to prepare for this next year?
What do we do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? After this hard work down, what are you going to do?
It's basically all the organization is done by the yacht club here, and we're very grateful to them that we have such good relationship and workmen and all volunteers, and it's always we don't do much direct advertising for the sushi bar. This is possibly the only program that we do run, so we hope to make sure that we sell enough fish and that the tourists start coming back to the island and start buying fish, because it's dropped off a lot last year, and we're hoping that it'll return with the stimulus and that's been pumped into the economy.
Okay. Well, your shop is located at Mitchell's Sushi Bar. It's located at 524 Ohohia Street,
right.
Down by the airport.
Airport.
And I want to thank you for joining me, and what we're going to do is close out and see people next week, and
good.
Maybe we'll have some more subject. And Al, thank you. Al Bento's, Custom Loons, and Mitch's.
No, it's been a pleasure being here, and great fun. Thank you.
Thank you for getting up and so early, and thanks for tolerating this ragged voice here. So, aloha, and see you next week.
All of the time, baby, going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, catch more fish than you. many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relay. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a-going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing.